so it doesn't project out to the road. And the landscaping that's proposed along the road is there just for that reason, to cut off, say, a light exposure that might come out of a truck or a business that's operating and still has their lights on or something like that. But we do shield lighting. We do understand that that is an issue, and we try to address it, whether either by shielding or trees.
Well, your buffer would address the issue, but if he's coming out and pulling onto Industrial Park Boulevard, there's nothing going to stop the headlights from the vehicle from going across the road into their house. I guess that's my question. What can be done about that?
Okay. There's no, I can't say there was a specific reason that I put it right in front of the driveway.
Is that something we can, could be addressed or moved?
I'd have to have my engineer to look at it.
All right.
If it moved it down, it'd be just to another guy's house.
Are the houses?
Well, I'm not sure which one wants it.
There's only three.
This appears to be some area in here where there's no house, so that could be a tent that's not moving it that far to the right. So to me,
it's an issue we could look at.
Okay,
Mr. Beeks, it's the letter from Bill Brockenbrough. July 5 says, these two proposed entrances appear, and I emphasize the word appear, acceptable. Nothing is cast in stone until DelDOT says it is.
Right.
And I suspect if these concerns are articulated to DelDOT, they'll be taken to heart. Any other questions of Mr. Ruggio? If not, Bob, thank you.
Thank you very much.
To wind up, gentlemen, there are a number of people who want to be heard. It's regrettable that neighbors feel threatened by this project because Commonwealth Group believes it has been and will be a good neighbor. Its other projects around the state and out of state demonstrate this. At the same time, the project will promote economic health and growth in Sussex County, serving existing demands for additional space, and providing a convenient central location for local small businesses. Obviously, traffic is an issue here. But as the traffic impact study and DelDOT's response make clear, two signals, a whole bunch of right-of-way, a whole bunch of D-cell lanes, the relocation of a portion of Industrial Park Boulevard to connect it to the Arrow Safety Road. I think traffic impact will be minimized as best it can. This is, again, Industrial Park Boulevard, a state truck route. This property is, as a result, no longer a pristine wooded woodlot or farm property. If there is an impact on the neighbors, I submit that impact was created years ago when the county created the airport and the industrial park. It was confirmed by the adoption in 1997 of the county comprehensive plan, identifying this area as an employment center and a growth area, and was confirmed again in the 2002 revisions to the comprehensive plan. The 2002 revision again identifies this property as an employment center and a growth area for the industrial park, and this project is designed to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. If the project is built with proper landscaping, screening, and buffers, and the recommendations and requirements of DelDOT are followed, to the extent they can be minimized, impacts on the neighbors across Industrial Park Boulevard to the east will be minimized. I do want to offer one final note on traffic, and that's this. When the runway and clear zone projects that are presently ongoing are completed, the runway has been extended to 6,300 feet with a complete instrument landing system. I suggest to you that every parcel hauler from FedEx to UPS to DHL and all the other guys will want to locate at the airport to use the airport as a distribution hub. hub for parcels on the eastern shore. Air and truck traffic, if that occurs, will increase geometrically. So will employment. That doesn't bode well for the neighbors on the east side of Industrial Park Boulevard, but I think it's a pretty realistic forecast of the future if the project to extend the runway to 6,300 feet and to put in a complete instrument landing system is concluded. As you all know, with a conditional use, council has the ability to impose conditions as it deems appropriate to control development of this project. Were this an application for a change of zone, you had no ability to impose any conditions at all. Also, as you know, at this juncture, the commission has not yet made a recommendation. Because of that, we ask that you take the time to review all the materials before you, including the environmental reports, the executive summary of the traffic impact study and DLDOT's response, the plus comments, including PLUS's clear comment that it has no objection to development of this site, DLDOT's letter of July 5, and all the other materials that are in front of you. To conclude, again, we understand the concerns of the neighbors, but we believe there is no better site in which Sussex County has invested so much money that is more consistent with the county's comprehensive plan for the expansion of an employment center identified by the comprehensive plan and for continued growth and prosperity at the airport and the industrial air park. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
I should have asked Mr. Ruggio, but you could probably, maybe you can answer it. He talked about phasing, and he talked about if it's approved, then the big box in the back, which I think is that Baltimore Cedar Avenue?
Baltimore.
Phasing. How many years are you talking about?
I'm not the builder. I can't tell
okay.
you that,
Mr. Ruggio.
Well, let me just put that back. If we're talking about phasing, we would, this being our primary starting
right.
point, but we would actually, this would be our phase one. We would clear this, prep it, start this building, and probably prep these three to open that market to the small business people. And probably this would come in last, this small, because we're still studying that market.
Right. How about your others on the back side there?
On the back side here, we're talking probably, let's say, in here you could be two to three years, and then eventually into this area here.
So probably 5 years total?
5 year project, yeah. I mean, it takes time
right.
just to build this and to get this done. You've got a couple years worth of a lot of work here, and we're not going to build in advance of the market, so we're going to build as the market calls. So this will be first, then that. We'll still study this particular market, and then get into this. Now, if we were to get a call from another, say, air user, we would be willing to go into phase two. I mean, there's nothing holding us up, and to do another box for
okay.
the airport.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for Bard, Mr. Ruggio, or Landmark?
I have one question. There are two entrances proposed. Could you explain the purpose of the two entrances?
Keith was it.
Keith or Bob, you want to field that one?
It was more for the size of the park, the way I looked at it, but maybe you can give a more engineering kind of a reflection.
Well, I think in general, the idea is just to potentially have some good traffic flow where you could be able to not just have that one particular entrance or something that happened regarding that area, some roadblock hit or whatever. And also you're going to have some larger trucks that are going to be coming through here. And it may be a lot easier than for them having to turn around and then come back the way that they came. I think the idea is give them some options to keep the traffic flowing.
I will tell you that one of the biggest issues we addressed on that particular question is both the security of the park and also fire. All these buildings are completely sprinklered. Even though they have sprinkler systems, we have a relationship that we have to establish with the fire company. And the fire
sprinkler building, we still want to be able to get fire access, and security is also a big factor. Those two issues come up a lot and are very critical to the people that are in the park.
I just got one. Like, could you tell me on this particular print? I know it's not there, but where the woods are, the woods that is closest to Route 9? And that might be somebody. I'm talking on Route 9. Let's go. Where the proposed brown building, the in front of Pat's.
Right through here. It's still on the plan if you have a copy
okay.
of the plan. Says like
sculpt. Okay. That's where the proposed.
That's where the existing wood line is.
Okay.
And then the green here is where the proposed would be. And then run on just.
So basically, you'll leave the wooded buffer that's in the front of the big box to the left when you're doing construction.
This part has to be maintained.
I understand it's wetlands, but
will be removed. The area that's in front of this box.
This piece. Right.
Box actually sits in.
Right.
That'll be taken out.
Okay.
And this will be taken out, and then this will be left in right here. There is a piece here that has to be removed, and then eventually we'll remove a piece from here.
Okay.
Other questions, gentlemen? Thank you.
Is there anyone here who? Anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of or in support of this application? Now would be the time for you to be recognized if there is such a person. Okay. I assume there is no one who wishes to offer testimony of that type. Is there anyone here?
Set it down so we see that, so the lawyer can see that. Set that down.
Could you move that over so we could, or just turn it around so the people out there can see.
Slide it back.
Yeah. So the attorney can see the people.
Hey, we have another hearing after this, so some of you folks may be here for that hearing, but of those of you who are here on this particular matter and have a question, a concern, or an opposition, we will recognize people in turn. When you come to the stand, before you make your statement, please state your name and your address. The reason for that, and you don't have to keep your hand up, we'll get to you. The reason for asking you to identify yourself is that if this transcript ever had to be prepared, we need to know who's saying what. One question I'd like to ask, is there a designated spokesperson for the people who are here with concerns, questions, or opposition? And who is that?
Are you recognizing?
Yes.
I'd like to take a look at that, make sure it hasn't changed again. Because I'm not sure that we're all looking. Okay. I'm Tom Adams. I live at 22910 Park Avenue, directly across from the proposed King Farm Industrial Project. My family's lived in this location for more than 24 years, and we have connections to the area that are more than 150 years old. When my wife, Teresa Moore Adams, and I purchased the land, we were aware of the county industrial park and airport that existed behind the small field and forests in front of our residence. This natural buffer has shielded us and all the residents that travel and live in the area from the county industrial park. It would be a travesty for the natural buffer to be destroyed and replaced with pavement and buildings. I've spent the last month studying the details of the project as well as the process through which the project must travel. I met Mr. Ruggio at Ken Rogers' house on June 5th, 2007 in a morning meeting. During this meeting, Mr. Ruggio introduced himself and assured all of us, Teresa Moore Adams, Richard Wilson, Ken and Katie Rogers, and me, that Commonwealth would be a good neighbor. He then went on to explain his project, saying that Denrec and Del Doubt were all on board and the county was in favor of this project due to the Pat's building that they had planned. He informed us that it would be built as close to the road as it could be, and that all the trees, including the ones that create the natural buffer on the east side, would be removed. which he has confirmed today. He also stated that it would operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and would include lighting throughout the night. He informed us there would be two new entrances with access lanes directly on Park Avenue, and that there wasn't anything that could be done about traffic, which he again said tonight. We asked him to reconsider each of these facets of design, to which his answer was always a civil no. He stated that Pat's required another building and that the construction would begin on November 1st and would be operational within 120 days. When asked about the nature of the work to be done at the Pat's building, Mr. Ruggio informed us that they would be making tanks for aircraft. He also informed us that Sussex County was in need of a record storage facility and Commonwealth would make a facility available. When asked about the other large buildings and type of work that might take or they might be used for, Mr. Ruggio told us that he couldn't be sure. It would depend on the tenant or purchaser of the building and what they chose to do. He also said there could be eventually manufacturing in these buildings as well. When asked about traffic from the Pat's operation, he said that 150, 300 vehicles would be going in and out of the entrances per day, which he confirmed today. When questioned about the two areas of wetlands that were located under the Pat's building and Pat's parking lot, he stated that on the next map, the wetlands would be gone, which he has confirmed today. When the fact that vehicles exiting the park at night would result in light shining in our windows, Mr. Ruggio again assured us that Commonwealth would be a good neighbor. He said there would be a berm constructed to shield the park from the community. He also said that he might even be willing to build a berm or plant trees in our yards to block the light from our windows. Perhaps in Wilmington, this method of business falls into the good neighbor category, but I failed to see anything neighborly about Mr. Ruggio's and the Commonwealth's business methods. For the record, I would like to introduce the notes we made of the meeting. They go which way?
You can give it to me and we'll make sure everybody sees.
I can dance. Our opposition to the plan is based on many troubling issues that become clear after looking at this project and all that accompanies it. The first issues are that of road traffic and safety that will be negatively affected by this project. There have been two accidents resulting in fatalities in the past 7 years on the stretch of Park Avenue that the developers want to add two additional entrances to. One occurred on the south stretch of Park Avenue, approximately 873 feet from the proposed southern entrance, a distance covered in 11 seconds at 50 miles an hour. And the other fatal accident occurred within 40 feet of the proposed northern entrance, a distance covered in less than 1 second. Both fatal accidents have involved trucks and cars colliding on a road that is less than safe today and has too much traffic. The traffic study submitted by the State of Delaware Department of Transportation as a support facilities report for the Commonwealth Group Limited dated June 14, 2006, shows that the proposal as submitted at the time would result in an average daily traffic estimate increase of 2,967 vehicles per day. This same report also included the existing traffic data, which showed 2,901 vehicles per day. It is apparent that the proposal as of this time would more than double the current traffic utilizing Park Avenue and increase the number of heavy vehicles substantially. I must include that my reference to the proposal at this time, meaning 4/27/06, because the plan has changed since this date. It now includes a 241-space parking lot adjacent to the building located in the southwest corner of the plant. The same document informs one that this project could result in Park Avenue, which is currently rated C, becoming a D-rated road in the future. The road is currently not up to industrial rating, as it should be if an industrial park is to be located on and will utilize this road as the major point of access. One of the conditions that the County Council should impose upon the Commonwealth is that they be responsible for the cost of upgrading the entire road, not just that piece of road that fronts their property, to an industrial rated road. This burden should not fall to the taxpayers of Delaware or the county. The safety of all the residents and commuters that utilize Park Avenue will be compromised due to the volume of traffic and the placement of two entrances along a short amount of roadway. The turn lanes proposed will present additional hazards on a road that has no shoulders and is heavily traveled by large trucks and farm machinery. In the findings of facts and conditions document the developer submitted at the June 14th, 2007 planning and zoning meeting states, with the conditions imposed by DelDOT, will have minimal traffic impact since two traffic signals and various turn lanes will positively affect traffic flow. I believe the correct wording should be that the two traffic signals and various turn lanes will attempt to decrease the negative impact of the increased traffic flow. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking this industrial park project will positively affect any road, traffic, or safety issue. That is not the truth. As I studied this project, another major problem became very apparent, and it was the issue of runoff. The size of this project will create large amounts of runoff and will damage the wetlands and alter the water system of the area. Damage to the large area of wetlands will occur due to the decision of the developer to ignore the recommendations made by the State of Delaware Plus Review, page 3, August 23, 2006, that read, "Therefore, we recommend that the proposed 50-foot wetland buffers be increased to at least 100 feet in width. In addition to providing wildlife habitat, buffers of 100 feet or greater serve to adequately protect water quality within the wetlands, which could be degraded by runoff." DENREC continues, "This buffer width is especially important for a project such as this one, which is proposing 48%, let me take a breath and say that again, 48% impervious surface. There should be no structure or infrastructure within the buffer zone. Another runoff issue relates to the Commonwealth's calculation of surface imperviousness. The Plus Review, page 9, reads, "Based on the calculated surface imperviousness figure provided by the applicant, post-development construction activities will render at least 48% of this parcel service area as impervious. Given the scope and density of this project, however, this estimate will likely underestimate the amount of projected surface imperviousness and its associated environmental impacts. The applicant should realize that all forms of constructed service and surface imperviousness, i.e. rooftops, sidewalks, and roads, should be included in the calculation." Now, that is from the state. It appears that someone at DENREC did not agree with the calculations of impervious cover. Even if one is to use the Commonwealth suspect service imperviousness calculations, this would result in over 35 acres of rooftops, sidewalks, parking areas, and roads. This large amount of impervious area will result in extreme runoff during heavy rains or periods of heavy snow. The King Farm Wetlands Delineation Report, prepared for Landmark Engineering, states on page 7, "The southern portion of the property appears to drain off property and into Peterkin's Branch, which flows into Cow Bridge Branch. Cow Bridge Branch is a tributary to Indian River." That is from the Landmark Engineering's Wetland Delineation Report. The runoff from 700-plus cars, countless trucks, machinery, and manufacturing waste would be a most undesirable addition to our valuable Indian River. Another major problem with this project is the other negative impacts on the environment that will result. During a time when we are all aware of the value of the preservation of farmland, forest, and wetlands, this project will result in the destruction of all three of these valuable resources. The children of Sussex County will live with the decisions that we, the adults and decision makers, make. The children of Sussex County will live with the decisions that we, the adults and decision makers, choose concerning irreplaceable resources for the rest of time. Will our children look out their windows and see deer, birds, and soaring bald eagles moving freely? Or will they look out their windows and see lines of traffic in big box warehouses? The project will remove 25 acres of prime farmland. This rating is based on the Sussex Conservation District Memorandum in regard to this project. This valuable farmland will be replaced with pavement and buildings. This is unacceptable during a time when Sussex County and the state of Delaware are in the process of preserving farmland. This project will also remove 25-plus acres of 50-year-old hardwood trees, fill in two wetland areas, and cause damage to the 17-plus acre larger wetlands that must be protected by law. All of these areas of the property create habitat for innumerable variety of plant and animal life. Looking at the plans for the proposed King Farm Industrial Park, it becomes apparent that almost all of the 50-year-old hardwood trees that one sees from the road will be removed. I did read in the forest stand delineation narrative submitted by the Commonwealth and part of the conditional use site plan project booklet for the King Farm, dated June 11, 2007, that a 32-inch southern red oak and a 33-inch white oak, both of which are growing on the field edge, have been flagged. I believe I can see the flag from one of those from my house. But I must ask, for what purpose? Flag, for what purpose? Are they really going to save those two trees? The rare threatened and endangered species habitat assessment report that was prepared at the request of Landmark Engineering, Inc. for the King Farm Industrial Park project tells us that Cope's gray tree frogs were heard calling throughout the forested uplands and wetlands in the northern portion of the property. The forested wetland in the southern portion of the property, as well as the two isolated wetlands, is also potential habitat for this species. Those wetlands are no longer on that map. They've been taken care of. But they do exist. Cope's tree frogs are considered rare by the Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife, and they are state listed as S2. Very rare within the state of Delaware, with a 6 to 20 known occurrences, and is susceptible to becoming extirpated, which means destroyed. The same report concludes chipping sparrows were heard from the northern fallow field in the northern portion of the property. Potential breeding habitat for this species is present on the property where the forest edges are adjacent to the fallow fields, as well as both fallow fields themselves. Chipping sparrows are considered to be rare to uncommon in Delaware during the non-breeding season. The RTE report continues. The chipping sparrow is listed as both S3N and S5B for the state of Delaware by the Division of Fish and Wildlife. Species classified as S3N are rare to uncommon during the non-breeding season, with 21 to 100 known occurrences. S3 species are not immediately threatened with extirpation, but may be if additional populations are destroyed. The report also states the forested uplands and wetlands on the King property were observed to be potential habitat for both the eastern king snake and the northern rough green snake. The fallow fields present on the property are also potential habitat for the king snake. Both species are listed as S2, very rare within the state of Delaware, with 6 to 20 known occurrences, and is susceptible to becoming extirpated or destroyed. The forest and wetlands that provide habitat and contain rare species would best be preserved in its current state. In the findings and facts conditions document submitted by the applicant prior to the June 14, 2007 Sussex County Planning and Zoning meeting, one can find the paragraph that reads, "With the design of this project, environmental impact has been minimized." And that was from the finding of facts and conditions document. With the design of the project, environmental impact has been minimized. There are no rare flora or fauna on the property. To the extent possible, mature trees will be preserved. I guess the key words are "to the extent possible." However, their statement of minimal impact, I've just pointed out how this is not correct in at least 6 instances. It's just not correct. One of the issues that was discussed at the June 14, 2007 planning and zoning hearing was the effect that the King Farm Industrial Park project would have on the values of property in the area. Listening to and reading the minutes from the planning and zoning meeting, it's clear that Mr. Ruggio of the Commonwealth responded he felt the industrial park would improve property values when complete, which he said tonight. We have had a property appraisal completed on our property in relation to how it would be affected by the proposed King Farm Industrial Park. The appraisal reads as follows. "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Adams, after reviewing the King Farm Industrial Park information in relationship to your property, it would greatly affect your property values. The impact of the traffic alone would make any potential purchaser not at ease, knowing that the traffic count would increase 1,500 to 3,000 vehicles, including heavy trucks. And the fact that this would be considered an industrial park, and it makes buyers aware that this is possibly dangerous to their health and well-being, besides the damage that could come to the environment. If this were approved, this opens doors to other commercial industrial projects to come into the area. This could decrease your property value as much as 25 to 30% of the current value," and that's from D. Scott Reagan, REMAX Eastern Shore. For the record, I would like now to introduce a property value appraisal that we had conducted in the past 2 weeks and received today. The state of Delaware, in the PLUS Review, PLUS 2006-07-05, King Farm Industrial Park document, shared the following recommendations with the developer. I have summarized the document's recommendations. The state recommended that the developer, A, make an effort to reduce the amount of trees removed four times, pages 3, 7, 9, and 10. B, utilize a 100-foot buffer around wetlands three times, pages 3, 7, and 8. C, make a greater effort to preserve forested wetlands two times, pages 2 and 13. Maintain open space, page 11. E, place open space and permanent conservation easement mechanism, page 12. F, should not build on two wetland areas in the southwest area, pages 3 and 8. Those are the two disappearing wetlands that the state saw and said don't build on those wetlands. Replace trees, page 16 and 17. Now, although I am aware that Ordinance 99-9 applies to subdivisions, I thought that it would be interesting to see how it would rate applying the criteria to this project. It is, after all, an industrial subdivision where units may be leased or sold and contains mixed uses and building styles. When you examine this project, utilizing the county's own criteria, the project comes up far short of acceptable. The ordinance contains the following passage. The approval of a subdivision shall include consideration of the following. One, integration of proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. The grade has failed. There is no integration, and the existing terrain and landscape are destroyed. Two, minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. The grade has failed. It destroys two small wetlands and has inadequate buffers around remaining wetlands. Three, preservation of natural and historical features. The grade has failed. It will destroy wetlands, a 25-plus-year-old farm field, what's older than that, and a 50-year-old forest. Four, preservation of open space and scenic views. The grade has failed. It eliminates open space and any scenic view will be eliminated. Minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade changes. The grade has failed. Almost all trees not in protected wetlands are removed and most of the natural vegetation will be destroyed. Screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. The grade has failed. The size and scope of this project cannot be screened from the neighbors or the roadway. The big box warehouse buildings could be up to 42 feet high and thus will be visible from the road despite any berms or landscaping the Commonwealth might install. The only hope of screening this project is maintaining a buffer of the current field and 100 feet mature tree forest. Provisions for water supply, hey, the grade is passed. County provided. Provision for sewage disposal, the grade is passed. County provided. Prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater, the grade has failed. The 35-plus acres of impervious surface will result in flooding and certain pollution of groundwater and the degradation of wetlands. Minimization of erosion, sedimentation, minimization of changes in groundwater levels, minimization of increased rates of runoff, minimization of potential for flooding and design of drainage so that groundwater reach is maximized. That was a lot. That grade has failed. Groundwater levels will be reduced due to the large impervious area and the increased rate of runoff that will occur during heavy rain. Provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent ways. Within the site, the grade is average or pass. It appears safe. To adjacent ways, the grade is fail. As noted, this will empty significant traffic from an industrial park onto a road that is not up to industrial traffic standards. Effect on area property values, the grade has failed. The industrial nature of the King Farm Industrial Park and effects that come with it will reduce nearby property values. Appraisal indicates a 25 to 30% reduction in value. Preservation and conservation of farmland, the grade has failed. All farmlands destroyed and thus no conservation. Effect on schools, public buildings, community facilities, not applicable to this project. Effect on area roadways and public transportation, the grade has failed. King Farm Industrial Park will double the traffic on Park Avenue, create traffic backups on Route 9 and South Bedford Street. It will not lead to an increase in the use of public transportation. The heavy vehicles associated with an industrial park will lead to accelerated road degradation on a road not rated for industrial traffic. Compatibility with three other land uses, the grade has failed. Three of the four sides are agricultural or residential and thus are not compatible with King Farm Industrial Park. Effect on area waterways, the grade has failed. The runoff will likely end in the Indian River and contain pollution from the 700 plus cars and trucks as well as any manufacturing waste that will result from the industrial park. To sum up the results from the evaluation based on Sussex County's own ordinance 99-9 regarding new developments, one can see that the grade on this project is 2.5 of 16 applicable areas. This project would meet only 15.6 of the county's own criteria. We are aware that the building for Pats is a part of the project that the county is very much in favor of. That being said, we feel the council should not give up the farm to buy one cow. Recognizing the value of employment opportunities and construction of that facility could be acceptable if the natural field and 100-foot tree buffer and 100-foot wetlands buffers are preserved and the traffic utilizes the current entrance. I believe that this compromise provides a positive outcome for all parties concerned. The Commonwealth can build behind the buffer zone. The county receives the benefits of the Pats building being constructed, and the residents of Georgetown and the surrounding satellite communities will retain the natural buffer, which will preserve the current character of the area and be protected from water degradation. I believe this can be a positive outcome for all parties concerned. If the Commonwealth will not compromise and agree to these conditions, then the Sussex County Council should assert its legal authority and require the field and 100-foot forest buffer as well as the 100-foot wetlands and ditch buffers as conditions of approval of this project and our other proposed conditions as follows. For the record, I would like to introduce those conditions. And I will read them into the record. The buffer for the project should include the current agricultural field and 100 foot of uncut forest. As noted in the text of the letter, most people are unaware of the industrial park when they travel Park Avenue. This proposed buffer will maintain and preserve the view for travelers and provide a noise, light, and dust buffer for the residents of the area. No occupancy permits, number two, no occupancy permits be issued until Park Avenue is brought to and meets highway traffic standards for industrial traffic. Bringing the road to this standard should be at the cost of the developers. No industrial or manufacturing activity will take place on the premises. These are not listed in the applicant's proposal. All traffic utilize the current entrance exit to the industrial park. All road improvements required to be constructed on proposed park paths. All road improvements, number five, all road improvements required to be constructed on Park Avenue, including egress, regress, deceleration, and acceleration lanes. Oh, all road improvements be required to be constructed on the Park Avenue property, including egress, regress, deceleration, acceleration lanes. Six, if new entrances are allowed, all heavy traffic, tractor, trailer, dump truck, etc., would be prohibited from using the new entrances. Entrances would not be open to unrestricted entrance and exit. Any traffic that is created by current business connected to the county airpark would be required to utilize the current park entrance. This could not become a shortcut for current park traffic. Eight, no operations on Sunday. Nine, no operations after 12 p.m. on Saturday. 10, no operations after 6 p.m. on weekdays. 11, no lights, security, or otherwise pointing toward Park Avenue. 12, no hazardous materials can be stored or manufactured on the premises. If these conditions or other conditions set forth are unacceptable to the developer should return to Wilmington and reassess and return with a redesigned proposal that reflects an attitude of respect for the Sussex County people and the Sussex County way of life. For the record, I would like to now introduce a petition signed by individuals that will be affected by the proposed use. The petition reads as follows. Petition, regard CU application number 1705. We, the undersigned, oppose the above captioned conditional use application for the following reasons. One, that the proposal is inconsistent with the agriculture residential character of the neighborhood. Two, that the AR1 conditional use is inappropriate for an industrial park. Three, that the proposal would greatly increase traffic on Park Avenue. Four, that the increased traffic, noise, congestion will adversely affect the health, safety, and welfare of the surrounding community, including decreasing property values. Combining these petitions with the petition submitted on June 14, 2007 at the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Meeting, the totals are as follows. 176 individuals, 125 households, with all but a very few from the East Georgetown area. For the record, I would like to now introduce a finding of facts document. The finding of facts document reads, findings of fact, the Commonwealth Group Limited, conditional use number 1705. The applicant has failed to meet its burden of proof that the proposed use will have a minimal negative impact on open space, the environment, i.e. wetlands, drainage, surrounding property values, and traffic. Specifically, the project will double the traffic on a road not rated for industrial traffic, will destroy existing wetlands and forested buffer, will destroy the current open space, will cause drainage runoff that will ultimately dump into the Indian River, and will significantly reduce surrounding property values. The project is denied. Thank you, gentlemen.
Next question, Tom.
Questions of Mr. Adams?
I'd like to have a copy of his comments.
Of what?
I'd like to have a copy of his comments for the record.
I'll submit them.
That's fine.
It helps just to prepare the minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll give them to him.
Thank you.
Thank you. A lot of ground was covered. We certainly are going to give an opportunity to other people to speak, but there might come a point at which repetition of the same points is not making, not helping council make their decision. Wilson?
Certainly won't try to be repetitious. Brother Adams has done a good job. Of course, they did as well.
Would you give us your name and address?
Well, when I get up there.
Okay.
I'm Richard Wilson, 23054 Park Avenue in Georgetown. And the property where I live has been in the Wilson family since back 1850 that we're sure of. So people keep saying, well, the airport's been there longer than you have. Not so. Not that I've lived there that long, but it's been in the family.
Very good. That's better.
However, I have lived there for 29 years. And when I first moved there, I really thought the growth was pretty much done there on the airport. And it was pretty much done on the airport. Pats has moved in, which I have no problem with. And I have no problem with the other proposed thing. But I agree with Mr. Adams in regards to the conditions that he has set forth, and I think they're good and solid conditions. Just reminding you that we are losing valuable farmland. Farmland does what? Produces food. We have a farmer right there, okay? Forest land produces products that's used. Plus, people don't realize this. It also cleans the air. It helps with erosion and many other things. We're encouraged by our government to plant trees, not destroy trees. Okay, traffic. Wow, it's already been said, but let me state this here. We go from I've measured it, so I know what I'm speaking about. Our ditch is exactly 3 feet from the edge of the road. So you go off 4 feet and you're in a ditch. In some cases, you're in a ditch like so, like 4 feet deep. You will not pull out without a wrecker, and you'll probably wind up in the hospital if you go in it. And such has been the case on many occasions. So it's a dangerous situation. And we can't expect our state to put shoulders on both sides of the roadway for 4 to 5 miles, making a total of 8 to 10 miles. This would involve moving electric poles, reestablishing ditches on both sides, moving mailboxes, trees, telephone boxes, and taking land from each landowner on the road. Our state is struggling to maintain our present road system. Should we put more of a burden on our taxpayers for a private enterprise for profit? I'm sure the Commonwealth Group isn't going to do this project and address all of Park Avenue. This isn't county land with the county project. Baltimore Avenue, I was back there today. I've got some pictures, but I'm just going to leave them here for you because you won't have time to look at them now. However, Baltimore Avenue has to be extended on out to reach the land, probably 180, 190 feet. Has to go over a ditch, which I have pictures, you can see it, 20 feet wide, 77 inches deep, that ditch is. Then it has to traverse over a railroad track. That's what you're looking at. So who's going to pay for this upwards to 200 feet to get there? And by the way, Baltimore Avenue isn't designed for a lot of heavy traffic. I'm sure you're aware of that. It wasn't designed for all this. So who's going to upgrade this? And by the way, when we met, I do want to share this. When we met here before with planning and zoning, and I'm sure it's probably in the record, that we were told that the reason that there was all this parking there around the big building, 120,000 square feet, well, there's 200 and some parking spots there, because they needed additional parking over there at Pat's. Well, at that time, I said it was probably a quarter to a half mile from Pat's, and I didn't see them walking back and forth nor running a shuttle service. I happened to measure that today. It is half a mile. It would be a half mile. Now, we're not going to be using a shuttle service, I'm sure, to go back and forth. By the way, I do want to show you this. I took this today at 11. We took this today at 11:18. Now, are the short on parking over there at Pat's? 11:18, they haven't gone to lunch. Usually on a Tuesday, you would think most people's are. They're going to miss Monday and Friday, most people are. You see that? Yeah, okay. Well, I got all these other things here, but I did want to show you that there's quite a drop-off. Yes, this is definitely wetlands. I have hunted over there on many occasions, and I didn't go over there without boots on.
You didn't walk on them, did you?
What?
The wetlands, you walk on them?
It's not against the law to walk on them until it's interpreted as wetlands.
Okay.
It wasn't interpreted as wetlands that back that time. Now, yeah, back to that issue. I'm glad you said something about wetlands, because they said something last meeting with planning and zoning about wetlands. Because do you have this before you? Do you have a copy of that showing the wetlands in the building and in the parking lot, which I left as exhibit last time? Okay, for planning and zoning. Okay,
George, now somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know what? That doesn't appear, as already pointed out, and it didn't appear. But the question was asked about that. Well, there was no direct answer really given on that. Of course, Mr. Rizzuto made mention about meeting with Kenny Rogers and some other neighbors, which happened to be five, which Tom already stated. I was one of those five. I asked a question. I said, I came in a little late, so I didn't know what they had done. I said, how come there's wetlands shown in there? I had the original copy, which he didn't know I had. He looked at it. Well, that shouldn't appear. I said, shouldn't appear? Well, it's there. Somebody thought it important enough to put it there. So it's hard. You'd probably be hard-pressed to get any more of those copies. There was quite a few of them around at one time, but they're gone. So, however, what I'm saying is this. I like to deal with people that is forthright. And we still, down here in Sussex County, we still regard a handshake as important. I don't think we can shake hands on a deal. And I know you folks are thinking, well, we'll be able to police. Well, maybe you folks are better policemen than I am. I would not want to try to police this operation. It's doomed for failure. It shouldn't be. Park Avenue should never have been, in this condition, a truck route to start with. A mistake was made by DelDOT, and I would tell them if they was here, they made a mistake. And I'm going to close when I say this. I talked with a person today who had was a trucker, had a fleet of trucks all the way from Maine to Florida, back and forth all over East Coast. I said, what do you think of Park Avenue as a truck route? He said, Richard, one of the most dangerous ones that we travel. So that's his interpretation of the Park Avenue as a truck route. So, and then we're going to double the amount of capacity on it? Shouldn't happen. And if it does, there's going to be a major mistake made. So, thank you. And I'm going to leave these here for you. So
okay.
You can look these over. And I'm going to leave a copy here as to what they're pertaining to. Because you won't know, which I wouldn't know if I didn't know that these were defined.
But it identifies what the pictures represent?
That's what the pictures represent. And they were all taken today from 11:18 to about 12 o'clock. So they're current.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But please don't give us applause, because that we don't, it's not a popularity contest. We want to get through this, and we have another hearing behind it, so we're going to be here very late. So we want to just try to be efficient. Thank you.
I thought it was for me. My name's Ron Schatz. I live at 24619 DuPont Boulevard, which is about roughly 4, maybe 5 miles from the airport. I don't really have the big problems that everyone else here does with the road and everything. Not that I don't perceive it as a problem. It's just that I don't live on that road. I do travel it every day, back and forth. My son up to Cape Henlopen is part of school choice. So I'm on it all the time. And I often look for various routes to get around it and the adjacent roads because of all the work that's going on Route 9, etc. My problem, my concern, that really does concern me and everybody else here, would be what the gentleman alluded to, that this area would is being foreseen as a subsequent hub for additional parcel type of aircraft coming in. And I'm assuming we're talking about, what, bigger aircraft than we normally get now? Do you know for a fact what size is going to be coming into this airport?
We're getting in 737s now.
Will that be the max?
I don't know. When you get a 63-foot runway, you can get bigger planes in.
Right. So that's going to change the complexion of the area quite a bit. I mean, the noise pollution alone. Have you given any thought to testing on noise pollution standards? In the area.
FAA's already done that. They have to do that for the planes have to have these muffler systems on now.
Right. We've all heard of aircraft fatalities. Usually they're jumbo jets carrying passengers, but these planes have been known to overshoot runways and undershoot runways. And once one of these does, and I can tell you, I lived around an airport, Glenn L. Martin, for most of my life down in Baltimore. And we've had accidents of that ilk, including one of the stealth bombers during an air show. It's not a pretty sight. It's a lot of damage, and there are fatalities. And any plus you may be getting out of this project in the way of additional jobs and et cetera might just go right down the tubes when something like that happens. And there's always the possibility. Aircraft provide us the safest travel means, but they do have accidents. I just was wondering if you all have taken all of this into consideration.
That's an interesting point, but it's not really the issue here tonight.
I understand. I understand that the issue is more of the legality or what have you of this facility that you're putting in now.
It's a land use issue.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's also in the scheme of things, and over time, because you won't see this for quite a while, but this will change this area dramatically, as it did Essex, Maryland, which was just a sleepy suburb, pretty much this size, a suburb of Baltimore in the late 50s when I was a kid. And that airport was there adjacent to Glenn L. Martin, which was a giant aircraft company at the time, doing everything that these guys are going to be doing on this facility. And that area now is huge, with A-10 Warthogs flying overhead and C-141s and all manner of aircraft. It changed the complexion of the town dramatically. Now, you can see positive effects from it, of course, but you've got to ask yourself, what do you have here now, and what are you going to see here in a generation? What do you have here now, and what might you be throwing away? As Tom said, buying the cow and throwing away the farm. Thank you.
Can I get your last name again, please?
Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z.
Thank you.
But Please, please hold the applause. Two people coming from different directions.
I'm sorry, no, just stand right there. It'll make it sweeter. Just wait for a second.
Sergeant Dingman, I live at 223-522 Ann Lane, right down the street from Mr. Adams. And
could you spell your last name, sir?
D-I-N-G-M-A-N.
Thank you.
I live on the corner of Ann Lane and Park Street.
Yes, sir.
Right across from where they want to build this monstrosity. What they say about land usage, I mean, it's going to destroy the wetland. I know it's all been said before, but it's going to directly affect me as a homeowner right there, because if they have to widen that road, it's going to cut my property in half practically, because they're going to have to widen it by 10 feet or whatever. I'm opposed to this project, not only because it's going to affect them, but it's going to affect my whole project of Salisbury Switch. The traffic, yeah, they're going to put a light. If they do this project, they're going to put a light at 9 and Park. But that means there's going to be more traffic on my street, right in front of my house. We have a nice, quiet neighborhood, kids riding their bikes up and down our street, and the traffic is going to triple. And it's going to destroy our property values. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm taking glasses off. I can't see. Hello, my name is Kenneth Rogers. I live at 23022 Park Avenue, Georgetown, Delaware. The King Farm Industrial Park is proposed to be directly across the road from my home. I have lived in the same house on Park Avenue for 27 years. I am very concerned about the impacts of this project for several reasons. Safety issues, the road conditions. Park Avenue is a two-lane unimproved country road located just outside of Georgetown limits. This was made to be a truck route back in the 1980s. However, the route was left unimproved. This designation of being a truck route has increased our traffic from low to busy with additional truck traffic. With the proposal of the King Farm Industrial Park, preliminary DLDOT estimates traffic will approximately be doubling. Again, this road is without shoulders and is already at capacity as it currently stands. Also on the building plans, far lanes are not marked, accounted for on any of the buildings. Automobile accidents and fatalities to increase traffic flow in addition to two new traffic lights at the intersection of Park Avenue will increase the traffic burden as well as decrease the safety of motorists. In the past several years, two people have been killed in automobile accidents, one of which was in front of our house, where new entrances is to be placed. Meter and regulator station. There is a proposed natural gas meter and regulator station that is in front of my bedroom window, 40 feet from the corner of their proposed entrance and exit site. I asked the representative for Chesapeake Utilities if she would be comfortable with a station such as this in front of her house. And she said very quietly, and I thought I'd lost her on the phone. She then meekly stated, "No, I would not want this in front of my house either." Airport and aircraft safety. The plan does not address lighting questions raised in the plus comments with regard to pilot night vision. This is a special concern because the building configuration and logical use lend themselves to package operations such as FedEx, UPS, DHL. These businesses operate heavy aircraft such as 767s. How will the conditional use permit of Softball World's lighting be affected when these heavy aircraft begin to arrive? We would like to see the county request an airfield obstruction study with regards to this project. The PLUS review comments mention this on page 19. There are no building heights noted on the plans. Should allowances for radio towers be put into place? Gating and security are not noted on the plans. 24-hour security would be necessary because an unsecured industrial park will create an attractive nuisance. This is post September 11th, and security should be of the utmost importance. Environmental impacts, the negative impacts on property values. This proposed industrial park has forced our community into a situation where we feel we must protect our interests. Specifically, the following issues are major problems that should cause the board to reject this proposal. At the planning and zoning meeting on June 14, 2007, we were informed that there were no threatened or endangered species from King Farm property. Now we have learned that the Cope's gray tree frogs and chipping sparrows do inhabit this area. In addition, there is a suitable habitat for eastern king snakes and rough green snake. Revised wetland mapping between planned submittals changed industrial park's favor. This looks very suspicious. I don't understand how things such as wetlands can change this much in such a short period. Wetlands can be, this area of wetlands filters untold amounts of water from the surrounding area and drains to Peterkin's Ditch through Cowbridge Branch directly to the fragile Indian River Bay ecosystem. I understand that there are two ponds that are proposed on this building site, with one anticipated to be a wet pond and the other be a dry pond. I have been informed that the wet pond is a special concern with Denrick near an airport because it's illegal. In conclusion, this project will have a negative impact on neighboring residential property values. The King Farm Industrial Park does not fit the character of our community. The current industrial park is nicely hidden behind a row of trees as well as a field. I think that if this project should go into effect, in addition to all the above, the county should force Commonwealth Group Limited to give $1 million and space within the park to the Georgetown Fire Company and EMS, because the King Farm Industrial Park will no doubt dramatically increase the number of accidents on Park Avenue, resulting in serious injuries and fatalities. In addition, I believe that $1 million should be given to the Center for the Inland Bays to help offset the gross negative impacts that the King Farm Industrial Park will have on the ecosystem of Sussex County. The Commonwealth Group says they want to be a good neighbor. Now that would be a good neighbor. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Betty Walsh, and I live at 23376 Park Avenue. My letter that I was going to read is kind of redundant, but there's only two things that I would like to bring to to your attention. And just one of them is just on a personal note, and again, of course, it's about the traffic. You can't imagine the noise, the dirt, the smell of all kinds, and it starts at 4 a.m. There are days that I may have anywhere from 4 to 6 semis parked and lined up in front of my house where the light is going to be, because I'm right down there by the corner by where Route 9 and Park Avenue will be adjoining. Now, I have people that have even in this room have come to my home to discuss this. They have to come into my house because the trucks are so noisy, and now we're going to add more trucks and more traffic. And the other concern that I have, the gentleman lightly mentioned it while he was here, and that's Salisbury Switch. Believe it, that is privately owned. The people who live there maintain those roads. So even now, if there is an accident, the state troopers do detour the cars through Salisbury Switch. And if the state troopers are called, then eventually the traffic just gets backed up. But once that light is put on due to the additional traffic increase, believe you me, we can count the cars from our backyard right now that automatically detour through that little private community with the children running around. So I just wanted to give you my information. I have a picture too.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You said something about tractor trailers backed up to Fernie House. What are they sitting there for?
They're waiting to get on to 9, usually in the morning, because I have so many trucks in front of my house.
Oh, I thought you meant they were parked there overnight.
Oh, no, no. Okay. This is a truck route.
Oh, I know it's a truck route, but I thought you meant overnight parking. You said something about 4 a.m.
I'll show you the commuter traffic. I have a picture someplace. Okay. Hold on.
I have a copy of it in the record.
Okay. Do you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. You answer my question.
All right, who wants this? Anybody? Okay.
Is that already been handed in?
Yes, it has.
To planning and zoning?
Yeah,
all right, and there's just additional notes that I put on the back if anybody wishes to read them.
Okay. So have your name on it?
Yes.
Thank you. Next, anyone else?
My name is Robert Haug. I live at 26555 Avalon Road. I drive that daily route going to school to take my son. I know where things you can drop off of trucks. I lived in Newcastle for most of my life and moved here 6 years ago, so I know what runoff from buildings and industrial parks can do. I had family live in Glenville, which has been evacuated because of the flooding over there, because of an industrial park and all the major building up there. My uncle got respiratory problems and passed away this year because of the mold in his house and things until the state decided to buy him out. So I think this industrial park, the benefits are not going to be worth the payoff in the end. It's going to cause a lot of problems. A lot of problems with the environment, and a lot of problems with the health of the people in the neighborhood. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Oh, your last name?
H-A-U-G.
Thank you.
We recognize everybody who had something to say.
Hello, I'm Dean Baker. I live at 23260. Park Avenue, and I live right beside a railroad track, right before you get into Salisbury Switz development. And without no light right now, it gets backed up almost to the railroad track at present time. And if you want to talk about adding another, not a lane, but a shoulder, my septic system is like 10 foot off the road, which would be in my septic system, which can't really be pushed back because it didn't be in my home. And the particular spot where I do live, I walk out the front door, I'll be looking at this 47-foot tall Pat's building right there. And I don't think you can disguise that. He was talking about trying to blend that in with the structure. And another thing, when you talk about police, emergency, ambulance, whatnot, there is no shoulder. So when all these vehicles are jammed up, they can't go around with their sirens. There's nowhere for us to go. You can't get off to a shoulder. There is no shoulder. And that's my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, gentlemen. Seems like we've recognized everybody. There's been no recommendation from planning and zoning. No decision can be made by council until after that's received.
P&Z have made a recommendation for...
Pardon me?
P&Z's not recommended.
No, they made that they leave the record open for the plus.
I said there's been no recommendation.
No, I said, but for the plus.
Okay. And no recommendation from plus, according to Mr. Jones. So council action will have to await the receipt of the recommendation from planning and zoning. This will be the public hearing. It'll be up to council as to whether they want to leave the record open, but since we haven't heard anything from the commission, that's their decision.
We'll leave it open for...
I read the comments from PLUS, the last comment.
Okay.
Earlier.
So while we're waiting for just...
Okay. About 2.5 hours ago.
Not waiting for anything, are we?
No.
So that's just a recommendation of planning and zoning.
Right. So we'll close the hearing, just wait for the recommendation.
Public
hearing.
Permissible
here
with everybody?
Yep. Can I
mention
one thing?
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing and wait till P&Z makes its decision.
I have a motion by Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to defer on CU 10 or 1705 until Planning and Zoning makes a recommendation. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Yeah, we put back on our old business. At this time, the public hearing is closed. When it's put back on, we vote on it only. Well, we don't bring it up and discuss it. We don't take any more public input. You do not have to be here. You can look at the agenda every Friday and see when it's going to be on the agenda. But Planning Zoning has 45 days for their public hearing to make a recommendation to the council. So we have to wait for their, we cannot vote on it until they make a recommendation. Okay? Thank you very much for coming. We have another public hearing.
Give them a couple minutes to leave, Dale.
We'll recess for about 3 minutes, give them a chance to move out, and then we'll get into the next hearing.